I am for marriage between a man and a woman. I am for life from conception. I am for following the Bible, and I believe that our founders started this nation on biblical principles. I am in support of our military and believe that America should play a role in world security. I believe our Constitution was intended for a moral people and that the Bible contains the only true moral code. I believe we are all born sinners and that God in His grace and mercy sent His Son Jesus Christ to die for our sins, and that if we will confess our sins, He is just and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I believe salvation is not just accomplished in a little prayer, but that it is found in how that transformation is lived out. Jesus is to be the Lord of our lives, and we should follow biblical precepts. This is not legalism or works, but a life lived out in love and honor towards the one who died for my sins. Faith without works is dead and is no faith at all. I believe that we will fall and that we need to have a repentant heart, and that God will ultimately bring us into perfect action through Jesus Christ, spirit man perfected and soulish man in progress. I believe that we are not to live in guilt and shame when we fall, but we repent and get up and move closer to Jesus. I believe that if our nation will repent and turn from wickedness, that God will heal our land. I believe that as a Christian, I must occupy till He comes, and that to call evil wicked and to warn about those evil acts is a part of the mandate of Christianity. That to love also means to be willing to take the risk necessary to confront a friend with the truth in hopes that their heart will be turned, because their life matters, even if it means, in that moment, they will possibly hate me. It means that I must risk scorn to stand for truth, and that I can never sit silently by while evil attempts to conquer the world. God is my everything, and Jesus is the love of my life. That does not make me weak, but strong, not silent, but bold, and not fearful, but courageous. Therefore, if you're my friend, while we may not fully agree, know that I share what I share because I care. If you strongly disagree with these beliefs, they are not debatable for me, and you can, if you choose, unfriend me. I do not say this in anger, but in love. I wish for you eyes to see and ears to hear that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation, and that God, not man, gets to decide what is truth, life, and the way. God bless you.
This is Adam Mundahl with State Air. We need people on radio willing to speak about the Bible, the Constitution, and putting God back in our nation again. So join me in sponsoring Chosen Generation and Pastor Greg. Call him today at 830-446-3624. That's 830-446-3624. This has blessed my business, and it will bless yours. Thank you.
That was a shooting gallery up there.
I could hear the tremble in his voice.
She suffered a fairly severe beating, and the video is pretty graphic.
Justice for us seems almost impossible.
It's not fun to watch somebody die, and they knew she was in mortal peril.
They have not asked the hard questions. Why was the Capitol intentionally unsecure that day?
The FBI had information about security concerns before January 6th.
They're out for blood, and they're getting it. They appear to be winning.
Were the actions of the Capitol Police out of line? Were there violations in use of force?
Now I describe it as an inside job.
I'm ready to do whatever God calls me.
There's an old Chinese saying my ancestors learned before the Communist Party took over our country. The family is the essential unit of human society, and that you must have honor and defend your family. But it's not always easy to do.
When the regime gives the order, you have to kill.
My heart was pounding. I felt my body bouncing and twisting on the floor. They put numbers on our shoulders, then separated us into rows of even and odd numbers. I was number 9. My brother, he is still in prison. And my sister, she was sent to a labor camp without a trial. But there's one piece of evidence they haven't been able to destroy yet. I left everything behind. If I can't expose what they did to us, then all of our suffering would be for nothing.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome to the program. Great to have you with me. Thanks so much for being here. Okay.
The State Air. We need people on radio willing to speak about the Bible, the Constitution, and putting God back
in our
nation.
Yes, we do. That is exactly what we need. And here I am to do just that. Talk about the Bible and the Constitution and all that. I got a great program lined up for you today. So I reached out to my friend Greg Stenstrom, and he is going to be joining us at the bottom of next hour, 3:30 p.m. Central. He and Leah Hoops wrote the book Parallel Election. They have uncovered how our elections are being stolen and manipulated. They have provided affidavits, and they just had a major victory in Pennsylvania. He's got a brand new article out regarding that, and we will get into that with him coming up. Also, Jason Nelson is going to be with us. He is a retired disabled Marine who was on vacation with his family when suddenly he overheard a ruckus in the hallway, two women and a man, and the man was accosting the women, and he went to perform a rescue, and the next thing he knew, he was in the middle of an international child sex trafficking ring. And we'll get that story and what he wants us to know about what's happening at the border based on his personal experience. So we'll get that coming up. Bottom of this hour, I'll be talking with you about life and why life is so, well, why it's a pretty important thing relative to the battle that we are in. But joining me now, my very good friend, and let me see if I can get him up over here and there and then this and then this, and I did it! Touchdown! Don Jans is with me, and we're I'm so pleased to have him and to visit with him about who we elect. And I got an echo coming back for some reason all of a sudden. Let's see. Try. It must be a button on your side that's feeding back through.
I undid the mute.
Okay. Maybe you need to mute it again. No, that
does
doesn't
that help?
Work. No, well, I don't know. Did you mute it? Is it still muted?
No, I unmuted it.
Okay. That's very odd. For some reason, we're feeding back in. And I don't know why.
Should I go out and come back in?
111. When you're hearing me, you hear me right now, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Now it seems to have still got a little bit of a echo back in. Yeah, try jumping out and jumping back in, and let's see what if that does anything for us.
All right, I'm out.
My sincere apologies. It's probably not him. It's probably my operator error, but I don't know what I'm doing. That's terrible, huh? Oh, my gosh. All right, so there we go. Yeah.
That did it?
I think so. Yep, no echo. Huh?
That's like turning off the computer when you can't figure out what's wrong.
I know, right? Exactly. That's what us, less computer literate folk do. We just say, okay, I'm just going to turn it off, turn it back on, and see if everything goes back to normal. And it did, so praise God. All right, elections and who we elect, and it's funny. I mentioned this to Don in the green room, and he said, "Well, aren't we electing people with good morals?" That certainly seems to be the case. I'm really concerned about and have been, but I like to look at it through the lens of the agenda, if you will, relative to how communism comes into a country and the assault on the integrity and the morality of leadership. Am I making sense with that?
Well, when we look, We were promised by Obama that we'd be transformed. This transformation has been taking place for a long time. We were also told by our founders, and this is critical, we were told by our founders that who we elect reflects who we are. Think about that. The people we elect reflect who we really are. So when we elect somebody who's running a crime family, we approve of crime families.
Okay.
When we elect people who sell out our country to get money from China, that's who we are. When we elect people who lie to us, who cheat, that's who we are. Our founders tried to change us. Our founders tried to correct that problem to a certain extent. What they did is they created an electoral college for the president. They also said that all senators would not be elected by the people. Senators would be elected by individual state legislatures, thinking that you would have a higher standard exhibited by the state legislatures than you would by the people. They did allow the House of Representatives to be elected by the people. So when we go into a true democracy, we are now reflecting the overall element of the people. Communism specifically states, listen to this carefully.
Okay.
Communism, Karl Marx told us that what we have to do is we have to go into a democracy so that the ruling class, the communists can become the ruling class. And once the communists are the ruling class, they then have the power to eliminate all eternal truths, all religion, all morality, and they will constitute all of those on a new basis. The communists thrive on immorality. One of the things they wish to do, they must destroy the core family unit. How do they do this? They do this primarily through promoting pornography and free sex, through promoting easy, simple divorce, through promoting abortion, free and easy abortion, all extremely immoral. And then they define all of those new moralities as being just that, moral. So yes, the communist movement in our, in the United States has certainly come into play. We now have, in fact, I posted on Facebook today, how would you like to live in a society where those who lie, cheat, steal, and kill are celebrated, and those who do not are punished? The communists must upend the social order. That's what they do. That's who they are. And that is, when you upend the social order, then you elect immoral people. Immoral people who are willing to sell out anything just for their own gain. Immoral people who are willing to change positions on a dime so long as it advances their political careers, so long as it advances their power, so long as it increases their wealth, and they are willing to go back on any commitment they have made. We saw this with Kevin McCarthy. We're seeing it today with Ken Buck. People who ran for the House of Representatives every 2 years, understanding that their commitment to the people was for 2 years. It wasn't until they got tired of it, until they got defeated. It was for 2 years. They both quit because of selfish personal reasons, putting our republic in grave danger because of how close the House of Representatives is. Both terribly immoral people going back on their commitment, and we cannot continue to elect people like that. That's how you change a country.
I was writing several things down here as you were talking. The march through the institutions, as you mentioned, destroying the family, divorce, immorality, redefining marriage, so that way now you've changed what, you know, even what marriage consists of, gender confusion, the devaluing of man's life through evolution has really created the opening for the gender confusion issue. The idea that we are no greater, or actually in many instances, the idea is that we are less than animals.
Yep.
We're just another, warm body on the face of the earth. Distrust of all authority. And I was sharing with somebody the other day that, the danger we have now is this idea, because now America has been, and both sides of the equation, I've talked to people who are, on the conservative side that will recite to me how, our founding fathers were evil and deists and possibly mm-hmm. Satanists and mm-hmm. The Masonic influence and all these other things, okay? Yeah. Well, without realizing that you've purchased the other side of the lie. Because you've got one group that's saying, hey, they're all bad guys because they were slave traders and slaveholders and oppressors and the whole Marxist idea, right, the class system.
Marxist, they want a classless society.
Well, no, but they pitch that there are two sides working against. There's the help me out with the names. Come on, Don.
Proletariat and bourgeoisie.
There we go. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Come on cue. You're
be quicker, Don. Quicker.
Well, you're the brains of this operation. Give me the real technical definitions. but they've create that, and what they've done now is they've got their side that's saying all the institutions are rotten, but then they've got a quote unquote conservative element that's also saying that, well, you know, that this has been bad since the beginning because the founders were bad guys, and they, I mean,
let's go back to those 45 points in that document that was entered into the congressional record. 45 points for taking over America, communists for taking over America. That was one of the specific points. You have to demonize the founders. Remember, one of the key areas of Marxism is they must rewrite history. They must get rid of all memorials. They must rewrite history. This is why we have the 1619 report as opposed to 1776. They have to rewrite history to fit their narrative. Disinformation.
Yep.
And this is what has been done. Now, this has not been done recently. This is being done for a long time.
Yep.
And one of the reasons it's being done is because we've changed to where the government controls the public schools. The public schools have been our mainstay for education, and they've failed us. They have failed us tremendously. And they have now become centers of indoctrination. They're no longer centers of education. Yeah. They've become centers of indoctrination. And indoctrination, as we all know, is simply teaching people what to think and not how to think. This is one of the key reasons they want to destroy the core family unit. When you have a strong core family unit, you have kids that grow up with definite, strong ideas, different ideas. No question, they're different ideas. But they're strong, and they are not easily manipulated. They are not easily indoctrinated. And communism thrives on being able to manipulate and to indoctrinate. And that indoctrination system has been working for what? Many generations now. And so you talk about conservatives having those ideas. They've been indoctrinated in those ideas the same way as so-called liberals have. So this is an accumulation of a long time.
The danger in these things is that you start to fall into this rabbit hole where it's all shifting sand.
Yeah.
There is no firm, you know, there is no firm foundation. I mean, ultimately, both of those ends lead to the conclusion that the United States of America is bad, it's wicked, it's evil, it's always been bad, it's always been wicked, it's always been evil. And so it's kind of like, okay, well, then what is your solution, right? Well, you know, we got to wipe it out, get rid of it, end it. That's what concerns me on both sides of the equation, that there's no righting the ship. Can we agree that there have been issues? Can we agree that institutions have been hijacked? I mean, this has been my position for as long as I've been doing this program, but even longer than that. And that is, look, I am not anti-government, but I am anti the usurpers of our constitutional biblical republic.
And this comes back to, what are we electing? Because what we elect reflects us. And until we change until we are able to look and take an honest look at us, the American people, and recognize where we have failed, where we have fallen down, where we have allowed people like people to go out and to steal, go into stores, steal. and not do a thing about it and say this is righteous, say this is good. When we will allow, or when we will allow thugs to shoot cops and say they're justified, when we will allow arson, when we will allow all of these evils that are taking place in the name of democracy, which is in the name of freedom, in the name of independence, in the name of free speech, as long as we side with that type of element, when we call these people who are crashing into our country newcomers and do not refer to them as what they are,
right?
They are illegal aliens. When we accommodate people and we say, oh, you know, abortion up to 3 months, that's okay. Anything after 3 months, that's wrong. When we say, oh yes, we should call those people who claim to be a different sex, we should accommodate them, allow them into girls' restrooms, allow them to have all of these privileges, allow them, and then we call them he or they and them, and we don't refer to them in the proper noun, right, or pronoun, then we are accommodating all of this. We have to understand, yep, we accommodate this. Yep. We promote it when, yep, we do not fight it. And that's where we have to go. We can no longer accommodate these types of things. We can no longer say that George Floyd, you have all of these, it was wrong. It was the police were wrong. No, they weren't wrong in the least. George Floyd was high on drugs. George Floyd was the thug. George Floyd died of his own making. And we go along and we say, oh, we can't upset a lot of people. When we refuse to acknowledge the truth, to accommodate other people,
right?
How can we expect those people we elect to be any different?
Michael Brown assaulted a police officer. That's why he got shot.
Yeah.
He assaulted a store owner, and he had stolen from that owner before, and the owner was like, no, I'm not going to let you steal, mm-hmm, from me again. And he assaulted a store owner, and then he assaulted a police officer. Trayvon Martin is a terrible story. Joel Gilbert has done a great job with the Trayvon hoax. He really has. Mm-hmm. I've looked at it from multiple angles, and it's a shame. Trayvon Martin got taken in by a girl. I had a guest on earlier this week talking about what's going on in Haiti, which is terrible. Going on?
Yeah,
but it was a ring of Haitian women that Trayvon Martin got involved in, who passed around fake IDs and pretended to be people that they weren't, and he got wooed into a relationship or a quasi relationship, and this particular person that was involved in that got him off track. His aunt had him doing well. He was doing good. The mom and the dad had issues. You know, I'm not going to judge them, but they both had issues, which is why he was being raised by his aunt. And his aunt was doing a fantastic job with him, and he was doing great and headed in a good direction. And he got waylaid by this girl. And it's a very, very sad story. But he was in a bad place doing bad stuff for 6 months when he encountered Zimmerman. And again, you know, it's and then, you know, the whole Black Lives Matter. I mean, Black Lives Matter, part of the show of them being communists that you can see is they were bent on destroying the family, destroying the concept of patriarchy, making man out to be the enemy, promoting transgenderism, by the way, along with, you know, the whole pretending it was Black Lives Matter when black families have been under assault, there is no question, in this country for many, many years. That's a fact. Yep. But not by Republicans, not by biblical constitutionalists, but by the Democrat Party. Vince Ellison talks so much about that. Mm-hmm. And in his documentary, Will You Go to Hell for Me? And the Iron Triangle, Burgess Owens, I've got his book here talking about that. I've talked with Burgess about it. You know, the Project 21 Black Leadership Network that I've had on my program for years. At the end of the day, it's the family that is the bedrock of every community, and the destruction of the family is one of the primary targets of the Communist Party, and BLM was no different. They wanted to destroy the black family even further than it's already been destroyed.
Mm-hmm. And that destruction of the black family has now gone into the destruction of the Caucasian family, as well as the destruction of the Hispanic family. The only families that seem to still be strong are the Asian families. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that much about, but they still seem to have a strong core. Until we, as Christians, will take our role seriously, and will start to have a true family. That means spending time with your kids. That means having meals with your kids. That means not running all around all the time and just coming together periodically. That means getting up Sunday morning and taking your kids to Sunday school.
Yep.
That means having your kids go to youth groups. Until we begin to strongly become a true family, and that starts in the church, and the churches are as guilty as anybody else, we have to start promoting strong family, because that brings us back to a free society. And when we promote strong families, we promote good kids, and then we elect good people to offices. Won't happen until we do that.
Yeah. Well, and it's so important that we ask those questions. And when someone says, well, you know, I'm not trying to create a theocracy, you better understand that you are voting for a form of morality. There is a moral code that every single person operates by. There are principles that every single person operates by, period. The courts actually even deem that secular humanism is in fact a religion, and that's what's taught at our schools today. Yep. So the idea that you're saying, well, I don't want that theocracy, I don't want them legislating morality. They've legislated killing babies. That's been legislated. They have legalized handing out pills to murder babies to teenagers. They have taken away the right of a parent to be involved in that conversation and in that decision in many states. Okay? They have taken away now in multiple states, it is the school that determines the gender of your child. Listen to what I just said. It is the school that determines the gender of your child. It doesn't matter if they were born with a vagina or if they were born with male parts. It doesn't matter, because what the school is going to convince them of is what they are. And then they will change their name and even go so far as to start handing them pills to change their physiological condition predicated on the hormones that the school will give them without parental consent. And the damage that's being done to these children permanently, physiologically and psychologically, is devastating.
And this is done by people we have elected to school boards. We have elected those people to school boards.
Yep.
We did not take the time to understand who is running for the school board. We did not take the time to understand what their policies really were. We either didn't vote, or we mindlessly voted for them because we saw something on TV. That's because we were lazy. That's because we did not care. That's because we put other things as a priority over our children. That's because we said our children do not matter. We don't have the time to make sure our children are being taught high moral standards. We don't care. Until we change our attitude, until we take a firm look at who we are electing to school boards, yeah, to county seats, to city councils, until that becomes important to us, folks, it's not going to matter. We're not going to change it. We elect immoral people to those positions, people who wish to destroy the family, people who wish to abolish God anyway, every way they can, and this is the result. Go back. Look what happened to Judah. Look what happened to Israel. They did the same thing we're doing. They totally ignored everything God told them. And they started to worship idols. They started to throw their babies to the gods, into fires. They totally ignored everything God had told them to do, and they started to worship their idols. And look what happened to them. That's what's happening to us. And until we turn back, it's going to continue.
Here, you know, there's a pastor in Midland, Texas, and this just happened, by the way, March 20th. He was at a school board meeting, and he read from a book that's called Push. It tells the story of an illiterate 16-year-old girl overcoming the trauma of being sexually and physically abused by her parents. It depicts racism. It depicts incest, molestation. A father rapes his daughter and impregnates her twice. The mother fondles the daughter as well and causes her to climax, having an orgasm. This is in a book that is potentially in your child's high school. Your child's high school. You need to go to the library at your child's high school and middle school, and you need to find out whether or not they have in that library a book called Push. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. But this pastor in Midland, Pastor Amanchukwu, was reading out of it. And they muted his mic. They said, how dare you come in here and talk to us in such a manner? How dare you share such a thing to an adult school board? And his question for them was, wait a minute. You don't want me to read this out loud in front of the school board, and you're all grown adults, but it's okay with you that this is being read out loud in a child's classroom. Yeah. Is that what you're saying to me? Now, folks, please understand. Every one of those school board members that was put on notice about it, if they pretended they didn't know it was there, maybe they didn't, I don't know. But the fact that they were confronted with it, and the fact that they weren't appalled at what was being read, but were appalled that a pastor would bring it to their attention, there's something backwards about that thought process. Mm-hmm. They're either so full of themselves, or they're evil, or they want to see these children groomed. I don't know. It's deviant behavior to sit there and not be appalled that is in the library at one of their schools. That the first thing that should have been said is, oh my gosh, Pastor, are you kidding? This is in one of our schools?
Yep.
That's the first thing that should have come out of their mouth. And the fact that it didn't, he said, you guys are acting like a bunch of perverts up there. Yep. The fact that you're not appalled that this is in a school and you're not, there's no reaction to that. You're reacting to me. You're reacting to me bringing it to your attention, and you've had the police now to throw me out of here. But no word about how appalling it is that this book has been put into the, who put it there? How did it get there? There's a mayor back east who heard about one of these things. It's a few years old now. And he went in, Don, and he, you know, went before the school board, and he said this. He said, "I want your resignations on my desk tomorrow morning. Every one of you. Yeah. I want a resignation letter from you. If you don't resign, I will have you arrested. And I will charge you. And you're going to see jail time. This is your one warning. Resign or go to prison." That's it. There's another case. I think it was in North Texas where the family went in. The school board said, "Well, we're not going to hear you. We're going to close our meeting or whatever." The parents went in and did some kind of a legal proceeding with an attorney, and they basically removed each individual school board member and then temporarily put people on the school board, and that's it. And then they changed the locks and locked the perverts out.
And those all those school board members were elected by the people, who paid no attention to whom they voted.
Yep. Well, you folks, I'm just saying, you better pay attention, and I'm serious. Yeah. You need to go into your local school, the junior high and the high school, and you need to see whether or not this book push, and we can give you another the book was adapted for screen in 2009 as the movie Precious, but the title of the book is Push. And if that book is in your public library or in your library there, and if it's in your public library, go to your public library, because if it's in there and it's not in a place where it is, restricted age content, then you have a complaint to be filing, because small children should not have access to this kind of book. All right, we're way over time for you, I know, and you probably need to run. I appreciate you, Don, being here very much. I'm going to take a quick break. When I come back, folks, I want to talk to you about life. And I wrote a piece in July of 2021 on Independence Day, defending our nation and defending the fact that our founders understood that they were attempting to create a more perfect union. They didn't have a perfect union. They knew that. But the goal was to create a structure by which to accomplish a more perfect union. And we'll talk about that, and we'll talk about something that is called moral theistic dualism. Moral theistic dualism. And it has taken over American Christianity. And we'll talk about the danger of it. All right, I'm going to take a break. We'll be back with more. Don, thank you for being here.
Thank you. See you next Friday.
Absolutely, 100%. Great. I will see you next Friday, and I think I've got the right commercial here. I hope so. let's see. Is it the right commercial? Yep.
So. So. So up next, we have Clan Slate. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. And Clean Slate is a formula that's made from a natural orthosilic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your Clean Slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your Clean Slate today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king size regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen, or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
Did you know you can do your tithing and love offering right from your computer? Visit www.chosengenerationradio.com to support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation. Now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
All right, welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topics off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. I was just watching the video of the pastor, Pastor John Amunchukwu, reading out of this book, Push. Folks, we don't have, because of the fact that this is airing predominantly on internet streams. So I really don't, there isn't a communications violation, any language goes, whatever. It doesn't matter. But there is some, I suppose, explicit decorum. But this is so bad. This is just so bad. I will put a link to the Twitter page where you can hear this. Now, according to HB 900, this book and any book like it is to be removed from all public schools in Texas, according to Sarah Fields. And this is the, let me copy a link of this and put it down. I'm going to put it in the comment section here. But according to her, this is supposed to be removed. Now, I don't know if it has been. I honestly do not know if it has been removed. I don't know if I don't know what the status is of it. But my goodness, I can tell you it is absolutely horrific what is in there. And it absolutely has, it shouldn't be there. All right. let me shift gears real quick as I close out this segment. That's not really shifting gears. And I'm going to put this up. I just went into a Substack, and I guess I'm going to be starting to put stuff out on a Substack. But this is an article that I put up back July 3rd, 2021. I don't know if it's still up on my website or not. But it says, being Christian does not make you perfect union. Our founders understood it would be work to get there. And it borrows from my friend George Barna, who's another individual I've got to reach out to. Now that I'm doing afternoons, I can get George back on the program. But George did a study. This was back in 2021. And in that study, he did something where he talked about what's called moral theistic dualism. And according to new research from CRC, although 3 out of 4 people who lean substantially on MTD for life guidance consider themselves to be Christians, numerous beliefs held by MTD-reliant adults conflict with biblical teaching. For example, 95% do not consider success in life to be described as consistent obedience to God. 91% do not believe that people are born into sin and need to be saved by Jesus Christ. Did you hear that? 91% of them, they say, I'm a Christian, but I don't think people are born in sin and I don't think they need to be saved by Jesus. I'm not even sure what that means then to be a Christian. 88% say they get their primary moral guidance from various sources, often other than the Bible. 76% contend that good people earn a place in heaven through their good behavior. 75% do not believe that God is the basis of all truth. 74% believe in karma. 73% say that having some type of religious faith is more important than which faith is embraced, and 71% do not believe that the Bible is the true and reliable communication from God. Now, I want to address that one right here. So let me pump this up and there we go. And there we are. And I'm going to add this and expand it. And now let's see if I can get it all to play.
The Bible has been corrupted. Show them 66 this.
66 books are written by over 40 writers from 3 different continents in 3 different languages. We got kings, we got prisoners, we got soldiers, military men, we got shepherds, we got farmers, we got a physician, we got a tax collector. collector who's a mafia guy. And you put all these guys' books together over 1,500 years. Now, many of them lived in different generations and don't know what the other guy wrote. You put them all together and you get a perfectly harmonized book. Do you know what that's like? That's like looking at 40 different writers over the last 1,500 years and saying, write a chapter of a novel, putting the whole thing together after 1,500 years and having it make any sense. But not only that, it gets even better. If you look at the Old Testament's 39 books written over 1,100 years. And the last book of the Old Testament is written 400 years before Jesus is even born. I mean, go back 400 years from right now. There's no Atlanta Braves. You don't even have the Falcons yet. You don't have the United States. I mean, the Pilgrims just got on the boat. That's a long time. The last book was written 400 years before Jesus was even born. Now, you got these 39 books written by all these different authors for over 1,100 years, many of them living in different generations, not knowing what the other guy wrote. And you know what these guys did? They made predictions about the Messiah. Things like he'd ride in Jerusalem on a donkey, he'd be betrayed by a friend, he'd be born in Bethlehem, he'd be called out of Egypt, he would be sold for 30 pieces of silver, he'd be crucified. And they made over 300 predictions, with the last one being made 400 years before Jesus was even born. And you know Jesus fulfilled all 300 of those predictions? So there's a scientist named Dr. Peter Stoner who has since gone to heaven, but he was an expert in probability. Do you know what probability is? If I have a 5-gallon paint bucket and I have 9 white tennis balls and I have 1 yellow tennis ball and I shake them all up and I blindfold somebody and I say, reach in, grab one ball, the chance of them picking out that 1 yellow tennis ball is 1 in 10. Well, he's an expert in this. So Dr. Stoner wants to know, what is the probability that anybody can fulfill these prophecies? So he doesn't do the work himself. He employs 600 science students from 12 different classes. And they spent years of research. Not years, they spent months of research. The National American Scientific Council reviewed their work and said not only was their work accurate, but it was conservative. So what I'm about to share with you is conservative. Please remember that. So they said, all right, what are the chances that any human being from any human being in the world from the time of the birth of Christ until the end of the second millennium, 2,000 years, could fulfill just 8 of the prophecies? So here's the 8 prophecies they chose. Christ to be born in Bethlehem. That's Micah wrote that. Christ to be preceded by a messenger. Isaiah and Malachi in different generations wrote that. Christ to enter Jerusalem on a donkey. Zechariah in a totally different generation wrote that. Christ to be betrayed by a friend. The psalmist in a completely different generation wrote that. And there's the rest of the 8. They took those 8 prophecies, said, what's the chance any human being over 2,000 years could fulfill those 8 prophecies? You know what? After all their calculations, you know what the chances are? 1 in 10 to the 17th power. Now, what in the world is that? 10 to the 17th is a 1 with 17 zeros behind it. I don't even know how to say that number. And I have an engineering degree. It's not gazillion billion. I got news for you. Okay, but I can illustrate that number. If I have that many silver dollars, I have no place on earth to store them. I have to just spread them out all over the ground. And if I do, if I have that many silver dollars and I spread them out all over the ground, I will cover the entire state of Texas 2 feet deep with those silver dollars. Now, gather them all in, mark one of the silver dollars, shuffle them all up, redistribute them all over Texas, blindfold a guy in Oklahoma, put him in a helicopter, start flying over Texas. Remember, it takes 2 days to drive through Texas. At any point, he can say, let down. Then he gets out of the helicopter, still blindfolded. The chances of him picking up that one silver dollar is 1 in 10 to the 17th power, which means that is the chance that any human being could have fulfilled 8 of those prophecies, yet Jesus fulfilled all 8 prophecies. So Dr. Stoner said, what about 16 prophecies? So they do all these hours of calculation, he and the 600 science students. And they say that the chances that any human being could have fulfilled 16 prophecies is 1 in 10 to the 45th power. That's a one with 45 zeros behind it. Don't even ask me to write that number down. Now, if I have that many silver dollars, I can't store them on the earth. It's too many. I gotta make a big ball of silver dollars. I gotta make a sphere of them, okay? You know how big this sphere would be? The diameter of that sphere would be 60 times the distance of the earth to the sun. If you want mileage, it's 5.5 billion miles. Now, mark one of those silver dollars. Shuffle them all up. Blindfold a guy. Put him in a jet plane. It will take 400 years nonstop flight just to fly around the ball. At any point, he can say, let down. Now, remember, he might have to dig 2.75 billion miles into the center because the mark one might be in the center. But the chances of him picking up that one silver dollar is 1 in 10 to the 45th power. That is the chances that any human being could have fulfilled 16 of the prophecies. Yet Jesus fulfilled all 16. So can I blow your mind? Can I really blow your mind one more time? Can I blow it? So Dr. Stoner said, what about 48 prophecies? What are the chances anybody could fulfill 48 prophecies? So they do hours and hours of calculations. And you know what they found out? It's 1 in 10 to the 157th power. Now, how big is that number? I can't use the silver dollar. It's too big. I got to go to a smaller item. I got to go to an electron. Now, do you know how small an electron is? Let me just tell you. If you got a one-inch line of electrons, straight line, 1 inch, and I start counting tonight, and I don't go to sleep, I will count, if I count 250 per minute, it will take me 19 million years to count that one-inch line of electrons. Now, if I have that many electrons, 1 in 10 to the 157 power, I got to make a sphere of electrons. You know how big the sphere would be? It would be as far as man has ever seen into space, 13 billion light years. Now, mark one of those electrons. Blindfold the guy, put him in a space shuttle, send him into space. At any point, he can say stop. The chances of picking out that one marked electron is the chances that any human being could have fulfilled 48 of those prophecies. Yet Jesus fulfilled all 48. So can we review here? Can we review? Okay, we got 39 books written over 1,100 years by all these guys. Many of them don't even live in the same generation. They make these predictions about the Messiah, with the last one being 400 years before he was even born. And Jesus fulfills all 300? And you tell me the Bible doesn't apply to today?
And there you go, folks. All right. Let me... How do I do that? There we go. Okay. I'm going to take a break. I will be back. I should have Jason Nelson joining me here shortly, although I do not see him in the green room as of yet. Is that amazing or what? That's John Bevere. I just thought that was so cool in light of understanding the validity of Scripture. And then we move from there to why should we apply it to our lives? Oh, I don't know. That sounds like pretty good evidence for why it might have something powerful to say. I'll be back with more Chosen Generation Radio coming up right after this brief break.